The study we were having in Ephesians 4 last night was interrupted. I continued teaching, but I forgot to hit record on the computer, so that teaching is lost. I'm going to try to pick up where we left off. We were around about verses 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. And these are beautiful because, you know, the truth is in Jesus, right? And we've learned something that we need to not give ourselves over to lasciviousness and to uncleanness and greediness. And greediness kind of goes into all those things, right? And putting off the former way of life and the old man. I think that I hope I got that part about the how that word means corrupt in the sense of like a shriveled up old piece of fruit. Shriveling away and dying, not to make fun of the wrinkles. I'm an older person, but this idea of, well, as you get older, you look at it and you realize corruption sets in. You're getting old. Okay? But inwardly, we can be forever young in the Lord Christ. You know, the body's going to wax old and die. We all know that. But the spirit is renewed every day. In Christ. So, putting off the corrupt and the, according to the Cephalus, renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, that's almost a reference to Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, put on the new man. See, that's where the transformation comes in. There's an old man, there's a new man. There's an old man, he's subject to sin and lust. There's a new man who is free from sin and lust. And there's a sort of a transition that has to be made from the one to the other. It is created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. There's all, there's a fake holiness. And I think that it's common to people who seek to be holy to want to appear holy. And I think there are two pitfalls that people can fall into with regard to holiness. Remember we talk about the promise of Abraham, how God promised Abraham, at this time you will have a son by Sarah. Right? In the meantime, Sarah gives to Abraham Hagar. And he has a child by Hagar, but that was not what God promised. See, now there's a seed there, the seed of Abraham, but that is not the seed of Abraham which God made the promise concerning. And I use that for an allegory. Paul uses it as an allegory for the law, but I'm going to use it as another allegory for going after righteousness in a legalistic sense, and meaning I'm going to perform it. I'm going to look at all these lists in the Bible. There's all kinds of lists in the New Testament of things you ought to do and ought not to do. Like you could say, I'm going to put off the old man. So I'm going to go look at my life and think of everything about my life that is the old nature. I'm going to throw the TV away. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. As though by doing all those things, you can please God. Not that it isn't a good idea to do all those things. What I'm saying is, I haven't gotten to the pitfall yet. The pitfall is this. You start doing things, you achieve a certain amount of success, but you don't achieve the fullness of the stature, or the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You haven't achieved that yet. But because you really want to achieve it, now people begin to deceive themselves, and they start claiming to be righteous when they have not obtained the fullness, the stature of the fullness, the full measure. Christ has not been completely formed in them. And to me, it's like Hagar. It's like you go out and you try to do something, not the way God had said, because God says, ask in faith, and it shall be given you. But instead, we go out and we try to do it our way. And what happens is, we fail. And in order to cover up that failure, we lie. not a, you know, I think to a certain degree, at some point, I've been guilty of this. I mean, I didn't lord it over anyone in the process. I mean, because I'll tell you what, a lot of great sin can come from that. Because now you're pretending to be righteous, and what if someone, and now what if you come down on someone who's got sin? And see, the thing is, you may not even be pretending. You may really sincerely believe you have achieved the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you know what I mean? But then be careful the way you look at your brethren when you think that. Because the measure of this, if we look at the way Christ dealt with the disciples in the midst of their error, the way he was at times, he was very frank and, brutally frank. You know, get thee hence, Satan, for you savor the things which be of men and not of God. Ooh, that hurts. Lord, I'd give my life for you. Oh, I tell you, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny that you even know me. Brutal. But you think about the fact that in spite of those things, he forgave his brother. Because he says, I've called you friends. I called you brothers. He considered the apostles his brothers. I also want to be a brother of Jesus. But it has to be in true holiness. Holiness. And actually, the way this is written in Greek, it literally means the holiness of the truth. But still, as it hit me in English, I thought there's a fake holiness out there too, isn't there? Whereby we go about to establish our own righteousness and not establishing his righteousness, which comes by faith. And because we want to fulfill these things, because then we can look, it says in, if these things be in you and abound, you shall neither be barren. And he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see. He says, so make your calling and election sure. See, when we see righteousness and holiness in our lives, we feel more assured of our calling because we see, oh, God is active. He's doing things to us. He's making us like his son. Sometimes it's tempting to want other people to see us as though we had attained that, even if we maybe haven't quite attained it, or maybe we just haven't set our standards as high as they ought to be. Meaning, we'll make excuses for ourselves. We'll do things that Christ would never do.